right. We're back, and today, on the 11th of February 2023, we saw millions of Iranians marching and rallying in many different Iranian towns and cities, including the capital Tehran, in the cities of Isfahan, in Birjand, Bandar Abbas, Zanjan,
Ahvaz, Rasht. Yes, many cities across
That's right.
Iran.
That's right. And in Shahrekord and many other cities throughout the Islamic Republic of Iran, we saw millions of Iranians marching and rallying on this day, celebrating the victory of the Islamic Revolution.
Also, as many as 6,000 reporters were covering the rallies across Iran.
That's right. It was a huge show of force. It was a huge vote of confidence in the Islamic Republic and in the government of the Islamic Republic. A huge yes to the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Yes. Today, millions of Iranians took to the streets of Tehran and other cities to mark the 44th anniversary of the victory of the Islamic Revolution. So congratulations, everyone, on the 44th anniversary of the victory of the Islamic Revolution in Iran.
That's right. And we also had a keynote speech by Iranian President Dr. Seyed Ebrahim Raisi,
yes,
in Azadi Square in Tehran, the usual culmination of the 11th of February rallies and marches is in Azadi Square in West Tehran. And President Raisi, just a quick recap, said, in many areas of science and technology, Iran is ranked very high in the world, third, fourth or fifth in many areas of science and technology. He said, we're the top country in the West Asia region in many areas of science and technology. And he said, the Islamic Republic has challenged the power structure in both the East and the West. He also talked about Western sanctions against Iran. He said, these have been an abject failure. And he said, after the failure of their sanctions policies, the West has resorted to creating chaos in the country. He also said, the enemies of Iran have launched a hybrid war against the Islamic Republic after their sanctions failed.
Yes, and Dr. Seyed Ebrahim Raisi said, the future of Iran is very bright.
That's right. That was his message, particularly to young people, the younger generation. And he also said that the enemies have accused Iran of seeking nuclear weapons, whereas the enemies themselves have huge arsenals of atomic bombs and nuclear bombs.
Yes, and one of the other important messages of the Iranian president was that the security of the Persian Gulf relies on withdrawal of American forces.
That's right. Dr. Raisi also said that 11th of February is the manifestation of national unity in the Islamic Republic.
Again, congratulations, everyone, on the 44th anniversary of the victory of the Islamic Revolution. This congratulation is for everyone, especially, the justice-seeking and freedom-seeking people around the world.
That's right. We congratulate everyone on the 44th anniversary of the victory of the Islamic Revolution. And we now go over to our regular programming. This has been a live coverage of the 44th anniversary of the victory of the Islamic Revolution.
This is IRIB English Radio. What you just heard was our special coverage. We now return to our normal course of programs. When the whole world is silent towards oppression, even one voice becomes powerful. IRIB English Radio, the voice of the voiceless. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Well, welcome to another episode of the program Viewpoints. I'm Atar, the host of this program. With me in the studio are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Shaykh Rouhani and Sayyid Mohsen Nahwi. Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah.
And Shaykh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Okay, for today's discussion, we want to talk about the concept of Taghut and how the Islamic Revolution of Iran 1979 tried to eradicate the concept of Taghut. We know that the embodiment of the concept of Taghut on that time was the Pahlavi regime, led by Pahlavi dynasty, Reza Khan and then Mohammad Reza. And it was toppled down in 1979 by the late Imam Khomeini and the Islamic Revolution that took place over there. So many people might think that this was merely a political revolution. But according to the sayings of Imam Khomeini, it was a removal of the Taghut power. And this word, this key term, Taghut, has been used very much in his speeches. Shaykh Rouhani, let's start with you, brother. What is exactly the concept of Taghut?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. From the Islamic perspective, or we can say from the Quranic and traditional terminology, what we can translate Taghut is the kind of arrogant power,
yes,
who is performing and doing everything against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will.
Yes.
And this could be the best translation for the term Taghut,
yes,
which comes from Tughyan, the one who revolt against, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's orders and wills. So that is why when it comes to Taghut, or a kind of tyrant or oppressor or arrogant kind of king or power, it is the responsibility of the prophets, the a'immah, the followers, the scholars of Ahlul Bayt and the prophets to fight against this kind of tyranny or tyrant kind of powers. So that is why Islamic Revolution was, of course, it was not only a merely political kind of movement, because politics or policy is something that relates to the action, to the performance.
Yes.
But prior to the action, prior to the performance, you have to change your mindset, your ideas, your thought. First, you change yourself in terms of thought, in terms of ideas, in terms of, we can say, theory. You know, theoretically, you first change.
Yes.
Then practically, you change your movement.
Okay.
So the regime or the system that was established at the time of the Reza, the King Reza Khan and the other Pahlavi kings, they were based on a certain kind of principles or theories or ideas.
Yes.
What Imam Khomeini opposed first was those kind of ideology or ideas. That was the main kind of concept, and that kind of system was this, the concept of Taghut.
Yes.
That Imam Khomeini, radwanullah ta'ala alayh, fought against it. So that's why I think Islamic Revolution should not be termed only as a merely kind of political movement.
That's right.
Rather, it was totally a kind of ideological also,
okay,
change or revolution that occurred in the history of Islam.
That's right. Okay.
Yes.
That's right. And Sayyid Mohsen, now this revolution led by the late Imam Khomeini against the Taghut, it is believed that it was the continuation of the path of prophets and then the infallible Imams against injustice. How?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, obviously, when we define Taghut, as dear guest has explained, obviously, Taghut is known as the false deities, tyrant. You know, all the governments who are cruel and oppressors, obviously, they all are known as Taghut.
Yes.
So when we see the movement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the beginning of the history of Islam, and the Aima alayhi salatu wasalam, they raise their voice against all oppression, all cruelty, all injustice. So Imam Khomeini, as well, he raised his voice against all these things. And that's why we say this is the continuation of what the Prophet has done, or the Aima alayhi salatu wa salam, because, you know, the taghut never ends in the history.
Yes.
We know that in every span of time we have an oppressor, we have injustice in the society. So every time we need some people who raise their voice.
Yes.
And whoever will raise their voice, they are in line with what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has done, or the Aima Ahl Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam has done. And obviously this is also the orders of the Quran.
Yes.
That in the Quran Allah has specifically has said that Allah is the close guardian of those who believe in Allah.
Mm-hmm.
But those who refuse to believe in Allah, their close guardian are the taghut.
Oh.
You know, the Ayatul Kursi, when we read verse number 256 of chapter 2, Baqarah, Allahu waliyu alladhina amanu, this is Allah is the close guardian of those who believe.
Okay.
And then the duty of Allah is when He is the close guardian of those who believe, He takes them out of darkness and take them towards the light.
Okay.
On the other hand, the taghut, whose leader is evil or Satan, we can say.
Yes.
But the rest are the followers of the evil or the Satan. That's why they're known as false deities.
Deities, that's right.
So they take people from the light of guidance, light of perfection, light of justice towards the darkness of oppression.
That's right.
So this is the main difference.
But philosophically speaking, there is a difference, a big difference, between how the governors and today's, because the leaders of the world look at the system of administration of the world. It is very much far away from what you say.
Yes, that's true.
Are they thinking in a taghuti way, as you said?
Obviously. When, you know, after Renaissance, we see like how God or the religion was taken away from the society.
Okay.
So when you take away from the society, that was another issue, because in the Christian society or the Jew society, they were unable to answer the questions of the people.
Okay.
And the main reason is the Christianity and Judaism were not the final version of the religion, which was sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes.
It was Islam.
Yes.
So it was Islam's duty. But in the Christian society, when the popes or the preachers, they were unable to answer, you know, the Renaissance happens and then the people went towards the secularism or even atheism.
Yes.
And after that, you know, even the economical system, the political system, they were all based on the secular thoughts.
Yes.
How Marx comes and, you know, he bans or he bashes the religion in his thoughts. We have seen that in capitalism even, you know.
Even Karl Marx has said that religion is the opium for the people.
Yes.
Or opium of the people,
so,
that's right.
So these thoughts were ruling over the world.
Yes.
And the philosophers, because they were away from the original source, which is the religion or the books of Allah, or the books which were sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially Islam.
Yes.
That's why they came up with the ideas the way they used to think about this world. So even in today's world, the political system that we read in the traditional way, the conventional, we can say, like, not the Islamic but the conventional, we see that the atheism is there, the secular thought is there, and the religion is known as something privately to be practiced by individuals.
Okay.
And not a social
system
for the community.
You are right. They very much restrict religion into the individual and personal lives of the people. And this is not the role that the religion has. Religion has the social, as you said, and collective role too.
Allah, 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 Allah. إن الذين قالوا ربنا الله ثم استقاموا تتنزل عليهم الملائكة ألا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا وأبشروا بالجنة التي كنتم توعدون
Allah, 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 la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
And day by day, Sheikh Rouhani, the religion is losing its color, but there is still hope, you know, in the Muslim lands, in some of the justice seekers and freedom seekers all across the world, in order to, we can say, keep this ray of light alive in the spirit of the people, that we can say these taghut and these deviated groups will be eliminated and goodness will rule over the world. What's your take on that?
You know, in reality, the believers or the people who are with like kind of religious mindset,
yes,
the number of these kind of people is increasing.
Very good.
Every year,
mm-hmm. Okay.
If you go to the statistics,
yes,
even in the European countries, in the Western societies, the number of Muslims, the number of the people who convert to Islam, and the number of the people who became religious people is increasing.
Yes,
it is because of the lots of factors, lots of difficulties, challenges, problems that the non-religious people face in their daily lives. So that's why they are trying to find a kind of spirituality,
yes,
in their own lives. So one of the sources that can provide them with this kind of spirituality is religion, particularly Islam. But when it comes to tughyan, or we can say rebellions or revolt against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the Holy Quran it is mentioned that innal insana la yatgha an ra'ahu istaghna. When the mankind feel that they are self-sufficient,
okay,
in that case they start revolting or rebellions or disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Satan did in the first time.
Okay.
He did not follow and obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when it comes to the Islamic systems, we have to focus on this important point that an Islamic system, a pure Islamic system, should always remind the people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Very good.
In order not to liatra.
Yes.
So that is
not,
why...
Not to act rebelliously.
Yeah, against right. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That is why if you look at Imam Khomeini's speech, if you search all his lectures, in all of them, without any exception, he always remind the people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That
you have to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you have to consider Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you have to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is observing always whatever you do.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to do whatever you can for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is exactly the main kind of idea or the principal kind of idea of Imam Khomeini,
yes,
that he based on his revolution on these kind of basic sort of fundamentals.
That's right.
And this is very much important,
yes,
because the moment you get astray from the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, then you follow Satan.
Yes.
It becomes satanic.
Yes.
Your whole lifestyle becomes satanic if you follow the satanic kind of ideas.
The promised enemy of prosperity of humanity.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right. Okay.
So you have no other choice, either to follow the right path or the wrong path.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But you are free still. You are free. Now millions of people are not following the religious kind of ideas because they are free. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided us with freedom.
Okay.
We should freely decide either to choose this one or that one. But the role of scholars, the role of the prophets, the role of Imam alayhi salatu wasalam is this, that they should remind always the people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That there is God, there is Day of Judgment, there is hereafter life, and you have to be mindful. So that is why the Islamic revolution should not be termed only just as a mere kind of political change that happened in the history of Iran. It was rather a kind of ideological change or revolution as well that should be taken into consideration while speaking about Islamic revolution.
And that's why nowadays Islamic Republic of Iran is defending the rights of the oppressed people all across the world. You know, in Yemen, in Libya, we can say in Syria, in Afghanistan, in Iraq, in different parts of the world. We can say in Palestine, Iran is really worried about the as you said, the satanic powers and sometimes the taghuti powers that are ruling over these people. And this is the duty of the Muslims nowadays, because more than any other religion, Muslims are recommended to act against taghut. And Sayyid Mohsen, a life of the Muslim without acting against taghut, does it have any meaning? For example, can it be useful for him in the other world or not?
Well, obviously, according to the teachings of the Quran, every Muslim should be against the taghut. He should raise his voice against the taghut. It is according to the teachings of the Quran. And when we look at the teachings, the concept of jihad is also the same thing.
Yes.
That we have two types of jihad,
mm-hmm.
the minor and the major.
Okay.
The minor jihad is when you fight with the guns or the swords with the apparent enemy outside, maybe outside the Muslim land when they're attacking you. So that is also a taghut. The other point is when you do the major jihad,
yes,
which is the jihad bin nafs,
mm-hmm.
when you reform yourself. Now, reforming myself means that I say no to everything which takes me to the place which is other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That's right.
For example, in the Western society, I know that my friends, my colleagues, my mates, my, we can say like neighbors, they go to the party
yes.
where there's alcohol and all those.
Yes, yes.
I need to say no.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessary on me to go to a place where there is a haram
yes.
action or deed has been happening.
Yes.
If for our sisters, if Allah has said you need to observe the hijab,
mm-hmm.
they must observe the hijab. They must put the veil on. They must hide their, you know, the body parts or the yes. hairs from yes. the others.
Okay.
On the other hand, for the men, you should not socialize with the women, you know, the stranger women which are known as non-mahram.
Yes.
So all these things, every single action in our life basically. Yes. When we perform it according to the teachings of Quran and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That's all
and
right.
every single action which is being done against the teachings of Quran,
yes.
it means following the ta'ud.
Okay.
So we cannot live a Muslim life without saying no to ta'ud.
No to ta'ud. That's right. No to ta'ud. That's right. Thank you very much, Sayyid Mohsen Naghvi and Sheikh Rouhani, for a nice elaboration regarding the concept of ta'ud. It was very kind of you. And thank you very much, dear listeners. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.irt. Another episode. God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
I know that you could easily take away everything you've given me, and I try to remember not to take anything for granted.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to this episode of Viewpoints. Please don't forget to log on to our website at parstoday.ir. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah. Ya Allah, don't let me go astray, cause I need you by my side. I wish to be close to you throughout my life. Ya Allah, oh Allah, be with me all the way.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and our heartiest congratulations to you all on yet another anniversary of the glorious victory of the Islamic Revolution. As Iran steps into its 44th year as the role model of popular religious rule for the peoples and countries of the world, we have chosen for you a beautiful hadith from the Holy Prophet's seventh infallible heir, Imam Musa Kazem, peace be upon him, that seems to refer to the father of the Islamic Revolution, the late Imam Khomeini, may God bless his soul, who changed for good the destiny of the Iranian people. A man from Qom will rise and invite people towards the truth. Around him will gather people like slabs of iron, who will stand firm against strong winds and storms, and will never get tired of war. They know not fear and have trust in Allah. The outcome is for the pious.
Allah, Allah, Master of Allah, Allah, Allah. The very first revolution that started with the people, continued with the people, did not change its word, did not change its way, did not decrease or increase its goals, is the Islamic Revolution of Iran. Ayatollah Khamenei.
محافظان خطه توفنده ایران زمینی جانم تپشم سخنم باشد وطنم وطنم ای خاک گوهر خیز بهره وطنم قدمم عشقم سخنم قسمم از عاشقی لبریز.
Congratulations on the victory anniversary of the Islamic Revolution. The realities on the streets.
Part 1.
The Aryan Empire. The great civilization. The military superpower in the Middle East. The king of the kings in Iran. These are the phrases that many media in the world use to describe Iran with. Modern cities with towering high-rises, many glamorous ceremonies, happy faces, and a thriving economy. But the world knew a face of Iran that was different from the realities on the streets. When the Air France plane landed in Mehrabad Airport in Tehran and someone stepped on to the staircase, he received an unprecedentedly warm welcome by Iranians. The world was witnessing something no one expected. Millions of people on the streets were waiting for someone who's going to build a new world for them and put an end to their long wait. The satisfaction with living standards claimed by the world media was contradictory to that unique welcome. Many people outside of Iran were preoccupied with the question, what happened in this country and what were people in Iran going through that foreigners were not aware of? Have the world media been hiding something for years? To answer this question, we have to go back to many years ago. Iran was putting behind a crisis-stricken economy that had experienced world wars and a coup. people's livelihoods in those years was deplorable to the extent that Ardeshir Zahedi, Shah's son-in-law and the foreign minister, says in his memoirs, the economic and farming situation was so bad that people in Iran's Azerbaijan were suffering from poverty and famine. Every day, some people died of hunger. Former Prime Minister Amir Hossein Hoveyda has said about the 50s, people's economic condition was getting worse every day. Even the oil revenues were wasted because of corruption. Despite people's pathetic economic condition, the Shah's condition was getting better. After efforts by former Prime Minister Mohammad Mossadegh in 1951, Iran's oil industry was nationalized and it sent money to the Iranian government's coffers. On August 15, 1953, the U.S. assisted a coup in Iran. The Iranian Shah was rolling in the revenues he got from selling oil. It was a win-win situation. The Shah wanted to change Iran. He wanted to develop the country and turn it into an advanced country. He followed Daniel Lerner's modernization theory for third world countries. It was a linear development. It means following in the footsteps of the US. Inspired by Franklin Roosevelt's reform plans called the New Deal, the Shah unveiled a novel and attractive plan in 1962. The plan was later known as the White Revolution or the Revolution of Shah and the People. It was a plan to execute the reforms in different fields with 19 principles. It was supposed to make tremendous changes in agriculture, industries, education, and inflation. One of the most significant principles of the revolution of the Shah and the people was land reforms. According to this principle, the landlord-peasant system should have been abolished and agricultural lands should have been demarcated and sold to the farmers so everyone could work on their own plot of land. The government thought that it was going to change the Iranian economy from landlord-peasant system to a free economy, but things did not go the way the Shah expected. The farmers could take out loans to buy plots of land. Those who had to give a third of their harvest to the landlords should now pay the hefty sums of installment for the loans to the banks. Some of them worked very hard so they could pay the installments. But sometimes they had to sell off their cattle to pay the installments. And some of them were desperate and hungry from the start, and they had to sell their plots of land to the first bid and at meager prices to the land grabbers who had set traps to occupy their lands in order to pay off the loans. They thought that the situation in the cities was better, so they embarked on journeys to go off to the outskirts of metropolises and choose to live in shanty towns in order to find some food to eat. Thank you. That was how a huge wave of people migrated from rural areas to the cities and shanty towns on the outskirts of big cities were one of the outcomes of the revolution of Shah and the people. Unemployment among the migrants was rampant. Those who were lucky were hired in workshops, and some of them became seasonal workers or chose to become retailers with a meager capital. But most of them were unemployed or even worse than that, ill and unable to work. The Shah was talking about efforts to improve the situation, but in practice, something else happened. Now, living on the verge of big cities was something completely normal, and for many people, it was a place to commit crimes. The shanty towns were the root causes of maladies like addiction, theft, disease, corruption, and hundreds of other social ills. Concurrent with the changes in the late 1960s and the early 1970s, Iran's oil sale was at its peak. From 1971 to 1976, Iran's oil revenues increased ninefold. The Shah sold about $21 billion worth of oil in 1976. The unprecedented boon put the Shah's mind at ease for his plans to build a great empire. Iran was about to experience westernization, experience new developments. One of the developments was a celebration held for 5 days near Persepolis to mark 25 years of monarchy. French journalist Jean Lorelier put the cost of the festivals at $500 million. Shoja al-Din Shafa, the mastermind behind the festival, had confirmed that the government had to pay over $400 million to hold the festival. It means 1.5 times more than the price tag for the 2018 World Cup in Russia.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear ladies, dear gentlemen, Salamun Alaikum and welcome. This is another episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio, and the topic of this episode is about the anniversary of Islamic Republic of Iran's victory. Congratulations to all Muslim brothers and sisters, and of course I invite you to listen to our program. Today, Saturday, is the 20th of Rajab, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 22nd of Bahman, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 11th of February, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Again, accept our congratulations on the victory of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Mm-hmm. IRIB English Radio in the month of Bahman presents
today's special.
Once the Islamic Revolution succeeded, the situation had changed for all of Iran's old allies. Whereas the Shah was seen as a puppet to America, the new establishment was skeptical of America. And on a wider scale, it rejected Western influence and policy in its country. Western politicians had to decide how to deal with and interact with the newfound Islamic Republic. So, what did they choose?
The West acted from the very beginning very aggressively. Why? The answer is very simple, because they were thinking that the Iranian revolution is directed against their interests. Economically, politically, strategically, on all levels. They not only viewed the Iranian revolution as a threat, they also reacted. What does it mean? They started an embargo, a boycott from the very beginning, which is strengthened even today, as you know. They organized attempts to organize a coup from within, different times, on different levels. They supported terrorist organizations from the very beginning, from different angles, etc., etc. So it was not a passive view to see the Iranian revolution as a threat. It was also an active engagement to strangle the Iranian revolution from the beginning using all means.
In this part, we look at the fundamentals of Iran's Islamic Revolution. In the Islamic Revolution, the people are the real owners of this system. This explains the success of the Islamic Republic in all fields, including its firm adherence to the original values and goals of the Islamic Revolution that have restored to the Iranian people their real Muslim identity. This is the reason that the Islamic Republic has become a role model for Islamic unity and solidarity for the people of the region and beyond, who are clearly inspired by the system of government in Iran, much to the chagrin of the enemies. All this means that the Islam claim by the godless Takfiri terrorists is nothing but a mockery of Islamic values as dictated by their creators in the West and the illegal Zionist entity. ISIS and all similar outfits have miserably failed to fool the overwhelming majority of the Muslims throughout the world, who cherish genuine Muhammadan Islam as presented to the world by the Islamic Iran. On the victory anniversary of Islamic Republic of Iran, we offer our thousands of congratulations. This is IRIB English Radio and a new episode of today's special.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. This is Ali, and we are going to talk about the Islamic Revolution in Iran and its achievements for more than four decades. On the eve of the 44th anniversary of the victory of the Islamic Revolution, the outcome of Iran's uprising against the US-backed rule of Mohammad Reza Pahlavi is a hot topic of discussion among Iranians. We're going to talk about the achievements and successes of the revolution in the past four decades in various sectors. Scores of laws have so far been ratified in the Iranian parliament for supporting the rights of women. Currently, there are nearly 2,000 NGOs which work specifically on women's affairs. During the Pahlavi regime, only 25% of the women were literate. While this figure is 85% now, nearly half of the university students are women And the number of female graduates has increased from 6% in pre-revolution era to 44%. Besides, women constitute 20% of the university professors, while the number was just 6% before the Islamic Revolution. The Iranian women have made dazzling progress in various scientific fields. The female physicians have increased 16 times more than the pre-revolution era. Furthermore, the number of specialists has increased from 600 before the revolution to 30,000 after it. Moreover, the improvement of public conditions of health and hygiene in the country has increased women's life expectancy from 50 to 79 years, plus mortality rate of mothers at childbirth has decreased 93% compared with the pre-revolution era. In other words, in 100,000 childbirths, just 18 women die.
In the month of Bahman, the month of Islamic Revolution, be with today's special.
This part is about achievements of the Islamic Revolution in the field of health and wellness. During the Pahlavi regime, there were about 50 medical equipment companies in the country, all of which imported raw materials and assembled them inside Iran. These companies were only able to supply 3% of the country's needs. At present, medical equipment manufacturing units in the country produce more than 8,000 types of medical devices in different classes and supply them to domestic and foreign markets. Iran has made great progress in various fields of advanced machinery and equipment in the field of pharmacy, which can be seen in various fields of design and construction. And some of this equipment is achieving the first rank of drug production in the region. Production of 97% of required drugs and export of drugs, including biotechnology drugs, self-sufficiency in the production of vaccines, eradication of polio and other epidemics. Vaccination coverage from 30% to 100%, increasing the number of hospitals and treatment centers. And finally, increasing life expectancy and reducing mortality in children under 1 year. This episode of today's special is presented to you on the anniversary of the Islamic Republic of Iran's revolution.
The explosion of light in the modern age of ignorance with the support of Islam. The Islamic Revolution.
About achievements and 4 decades increased role of women in Iran, we can say the massive presence of the people from all walks of life was an obvious characteristic of the Islamic Revolution. However, the role of women has been very significant and effective in this regard. Being wary and humiliation imposed by the regime of Shah, women rush to the field of struggle against the regime once they hear the life-inspiring call of Imam Khomeini. May Allah bless his soul. After the victory of the Islamic Revolution, women has increasingly taken part in different domains such as politics, culture, economy, sciences, literature, art, and sport. They have been present in every domain to defend the Islamic Revolution and the Islamic Republic. Women take part in different demonstrations and other social and political events.
One of the other achievements of the Islamic Republic is the decrease in the number of the poor of the society. The Iranian people lived in extremely poor conditions during the Pahlavi rule because the oil revenues were spent for revelries of the royal family, and the courtiers and magnates who were in one way or another linked with the Shah and his masters in Washington. The Islamic Republic of Iran has attained great achievements in welfare services and development of cities and villages. Thus, Iran's rank got from 110 to 60 in the field of human development index. Therefore, after 4 decades of the victory of the Islamic Revolution and establishment of the Islamic Revolution and the establishment of the Islamic Republic system, the welfare of the life expectancy of Iranians have increased while class gap has decreased. This has been evident in rural regions. While only 21% of villages had access to drinking water before the Islamic Revolution, this figure has reached 81%. As for electricity in rural regions, just 7% of villages had electricity. The Islamic Republic connected almost all villages to the power grid. On the other hand, having the greatest gas reserves in the world, nearly 50,000 houses in Iran were connected to the gas grid, while 97% of the cities and 81% of villages now enjoy the God-giving bounty. And this trend continues. During the Pahlavi regime, most of the roads were dangerous and the few rural ones were really level with no asphalt. But the Islamic Republic has succeeded to expand asphalt roads to the remotest villages so that over 200,000 kilometers of roads have been built in rural regions.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for another episode of today's special on the victory anniversary of Islamic Republic of Iran. Congratulations and fi amanillah.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light.
The Creator made Adam in his image, then placed the world in his care. May you walk alongside the Creator in righteousness.
God of Abraham, take my child into thy hands, that he may live to thy service.
God has spoken to us before, through Abraham, Noah, Moses, and through Jesus Christ. Why should we be so surprised that God speaks to us now through Muhammad?
Viewpoint.
A critique of movies with religious themes on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio. With me, Mahajat, hosting this program, and my two guest speakers, Sayyid Abdullah and Brother Yasser. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the program, Brother Yasser.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thanks for having me again, brother.
You're welcome.